the Luscious Slew, and I listen to the Comic Syndicate. If you love comics, you'll be into it. Listen to the Comic Syndicate. If movies make you contemplate, just science will accommodate. Twitter for communication at Comic Syndicate 1. I was drowning in a sea of podcasts, then I found the one I need at long last. Book reviews, the news, and sex facts. It's more than anyone could ask for. The Comic Syndicate Podcast. Ooh, the Comic Syndicate Podcast. Ooh, the Comic Syndicate Podcast. Yeah, yeah. The Comic Syndicate Podcast.
Welcome to another episode of Comic Syndicate. Check them out at thecomicsyndicate.podbean.com and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And now, here are your hosts, Josias.
Welcome to the Comic Syndicate episode 292. I'm Josias at For the Villain on Twitter, at comic_syndicate on Instagram. What is up, guys? Happy Thursday, 4/23/2020. It feels like I haven't been at this in a while, so please forgive me, guys. It's good to be back. Oh, that's right. It kind of feels like I haven't. Okay, guys, let's hit it like we normally do. First of all, what we spoke about 100 episodes ago, episode 192, we entitled hashtag host wanted. How fucking gnarly is that now looking back at it? At Mim the Beaner and at For the Villain share weekend shenanigan stories, hit what we spoke about 100 episodes ago, hit Twitter love and shoutouts, drop details on the Comic Syndicate Fantasy Football League 2017 entries and contestants. So sad that we don't have a 2020 fucking Fantasy Football League anything. And in summer movie draft too. It is just a bummer. So the summer movie draft cats with the two OC boys, Alan and Anton, those cats are fucking dope. Rosalind, Carl, Team Vixen, Sunny, Victorious, RG. It's always fun to do those with you guys. That just means I'm back-to-back-to-back champion again. So anyways, continuing on, we hit sex talk, sex facts, five personality traits reveal mind-blowing fun. Along with, women can alter their voice to sound sexier. Isn't that a fucking thing we are all aware of, though? Then hit some comic talk, comic news, X-Men Dark Phoenix, Venom, Sony's Venom, Spider-Man Homecoming Trilogy, and post-credit scenes. DC Titans begins shooting. Marvel Legacy, we hit Harley Quinn, DC Batman Dark Knight's Metal, number one, or one-shots. And gaming news, Nintendo Metroid, Metroid Samus Returns talks, then finally rock. Let me just back up real quick there. I'm not a gamer anymore, unfortunately. I grew up with an NES, all the classic systems. So Atari, like all those old school systems I was about. To say I'm a gamer now, I'm not a gamer anymore, but they remade it Samus, the Return of Samus, that was initially on the first brick Game Boy, where it's literally green and black blocks. So I loved that game, so they remade it for the 3DS, and I do have a 3DS, and it was just dope to play that. If you guys haven't played it, it's worth checking out, especially if you're a fan. Alright, I had to jump into that. We hit comic reviews, 7 to Eternity, number 1 through 4, and Transformers, number 51 through 54. Alright, guys. That's what we spoke about 100 episodes ago. 100 episodes constitutes roughly, by now, I used to say to 2 years ago, it's about 2.5 years ago, I took 5 months off when my co-host broke up with me. But yeah, I took 5 months off, and yeah, that was a thing. I didn't have the confidence to be out to record, and I didn't know if I could pull it off anymore. But apparently I've been back for over a year now, still doing what I do. And what I do now is talk about bullet points. I'm going to go through those real quick, and shit, honestly, I really don't have any. So this gives me some time to definitely wing it a little bit and just maybe explain a few things. I put this out on, I think, Twitter today and even Instagram, Snapchat. Perhaps all three. I'm pretty sure all three. Along with talking about this mashup, quote-unquote, of the shows tonight. Okay. I usually have bullet points, but being so busy just training in a new department at the office or working from home has taken a lot out of me mentally. So more than before in a weird way and odd way, especially not working the second job anymore, but it's been a lot of reading. It's been a lot of online reading and a lot of courses and just going through those and getting everything authorized in a weird way and getting just authorization to do shit and functions and stuff. So it's a thing I'm going through. So by the time I get out of work, by the time I clock out at, now I'm working till 6 o'clock now, I'm getting overtime galore. So it's like I'm still working a second job. Anyways, doing that, by the time I get out of work now, the last thing I want to do now is read or write. I still find myself doing both a lot, but having to juggle all the nonsense in my life right now, just like I'm sure everyone to a certain degree is experiencing some sort of brunt of all this. And you guys know what's going on, so I'm not going to bullshit you around. The pods, I guess. So deep dives and rabbit holes, deep dives and rabbit holes, and the Comic Syndicate were just two of my babies, two of my passion projects. And the thing behind this is these shows, I guess, not just this show, how I always wanted to keep them separate. Entities, I guess, is the best way to put it. I wanted to keep them separate, and I can definitely refer to one in the other and vice versa, but I never wanted it to be like, okay, it's all-encompassing. It's like, no, if you like comic talk, jump into the Comic Syndicate. If you like what I have to say, jump to the Comic Syndicate. If you want some thought-provoking, like, okay, this guy's bringing good stuff to the table, and it's very intriguing, and this guy can tell a story. And holy shit, this dude's got stories. I just always felt that both podcasts, each together and separately, like, I think they both deserve, and they're good enough, honestly, in my personal opinion, to both stand on their own. And I love how listeners seem to appreciate both, though. Even in the past few weeks, like, I hit up, you know, I put it out there in social media, and everyone's like, no one wanted a Comic Syndicate episode. Everyone's like, give us a deep dives. Like, that last one was good, and everyone was so eager to get a deep dives. And that's the one I put out last week, 191.1. So the fact that you guys love it, I totally enjoy it. So I don't like to reference the Comic Syndicate when I do that. They're two completely different podcasts. All right. So speaking of that, if there's a topic you guys would like for me to research and or talk about, shoot those at me, dude. Shoot me an email. There are still some from when we first launched Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes. Like, Eric had a lot of good ideas, and I haven't done the homework on those, but I'm going to backtrack and go through those. I literally have 3 written out at the moment, ready to go. And it's just, if I find myself busy at the office, and overtime is going to be essential and mandatory, so my weekends are not going to be weekends anymore. Thank God I still have a job, and I'm not complaining about working so much. I mean, I need to work. Like, that's just the work ethic in me. So again, if you guys want to shoot me any of your ideas, like, what's something you guys are interested in that you guys haven't had time to research or deep dive and go into, and let me bring that to the table. Let me speak on your behalf. It's an open forum, and I want everyone to feel involved, and everyone should feel like I am part of this. Like, the feedback off of last week's episode, last 2 deep dives were great. Like, everyone's playing along, and I got a message from Nigeria, so that was awesome to see, like, holy shit, where did this, and I got a screenshot, like, and writing my favorite podcast is the Comic Syndicate, so to see that on paper, I'm like, holy shit, that's fucking dope, dude, and just a thank you. Like, I always have to give everyone a thank you, so spread the podcast, share the podcast, subscribe to the podcast, but, share it with everyone. If you have social medias, share it, rate it, subscribe. And just share the podcast more than anything. But yeah, jump on and subscribe anywhere you guys can find podcasts. Apple, iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Spotify. So anywhere you guys can find podcasts, the Comic Syndicate. If you like the Comic Syndicate, give Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes a chance. And if your intro to me, Josias, was through a deep dive, then continue to stay on board. Hopefully you guys stick around. All right. So this was going to be a mashup of scents because last week when I did record the deep dives and rabbit holes, which was the anonymity one, episode 191.1, was I knew I was going to go 45 minutes on that show. I went about 35 minutes, and I'm like, why was it so fucking short? This is going to be a mashup because this is one of the few times where I'm going to continue that last bit of information for you guys. So if I am going to spoil anything, then put this on pause right now. If you haven't listened to those episodes of Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes, put on pause, come back. And if you're back, these are the last parts, paragraphs that I pulled up that I did not get to. Somehow with my paperwork got shuffled around and I missed these though. So in the medical field, it can be used to refer to the study of handwriting as an aid in diagnosis and tracking of diseases. So we're talking about the form of writing structure, printive and cursive writing, write out a sentence, and I'm going to break down what your personality traits are. If it sounds interesting, go back. If you guys are still on board, then this is what it means in the tracking of diseases. The size of your letters. So large letters, you are outgoing, people-oriented, outspoken, and love attention. This can also mean that you put up a front and pretend to have a lot of confidence. Average letters, you are well-adjusted and adaptable. Small letters, you are shy or withdrawn. Studios, concentrated, and meticulous. You are studious. Spacing between words, wide space, and you enjoy your freedom and don't like to be overwhelmed or crowded. I'm still laughing over that. Narrow space, and you can't stand to be alone. You tend to crowd people and be intrusive. Slanting, no slant. Okay, so we hit those ones. Shape of letters, round letters, you are creative and artistic. Pointed letters, you are more aggressive, intense, very intelligent, and curious. All right, so now we're going to come across to the part where writing pressure. Heavy pressure, you are good with commitment and taking things seriously. If the pressure is excessively heavy, you tend to be uptight and can react quickly to criticism. So still the tail end of that project, that test I was trying to give everyone. Light pressure, you are sensitive and show empathy to people, but you also have a lack of vitality. Writing speed, if you write quickly, you are impatient, dislike delays or time wasters. That's me. If you write slowly, you are more organized. Nope, methodical, which I am, and self-reliant, which I am, the tail end of those two. All right, let's get the lie detector. Handwriting that is bunched up, moved out of alignment, or otherwise different from the rest of the writing indicates a lie. Writing I to refer to yourself. People who make the capital I to refer to themselves larger than other capital letters tend to be arrogant. People make their capital I to refer to themselves smaller than other capital letters tend to be happy with themselves. Again, tail end, so bear with me. If you guys are interested in this and you haven't listened to the last two deep dives, jump in. I think they're good. I think I did a good job, and the feedback was everyone dug on them, so thank you guys. Your handwriting now says about your health. Note the information pertaining to health should not be used for self-diagnosis. High blood pressure. Writing with variable pressure is one possible indicator that you have high blood pressure, especially when it goes from light to dark. All right, so that's a good one. The one time my writing goes from light to dark, and I'm always a composition notebook and pen guy, is when I go through so many pens and so many composition notebooks because I'm always writing, and my pens die. Next one is going to be Alzheimer's disease. Handwriting deteriorates as the mental faculties deteriorate. One of the many factors includes handwriting that changes to irregular or altered letters, coupled with trembles in the writing. The writing will also slow down. Schizophrenia, when the slant varies within a sentence or within the same word frequently. It is one form of evidence the person is not having continual contact with reality. These are all interesting. And the final one is going to be Parkinson's disease. One of the signs of Parkinson's disease is a very small or cramped handwriting. Micrographic. Sometimes the handwriting can become so small, even the writer can't read it. All right. Now, it was going to be a mashup, guys. Like, if that sounded interesting at all, that was just something I came across where I wrote up and I'm like, these kind of sound good to go through. So I wrote one podcast and it ended up turning into two podcasts that I had to split up and two different podcasts about the same thing, essentially, but broke up in two different ways. So again, the feedback was awesome. You guys are rad. All right, guys, give me a few. I'll be right back with some comic talk.
Hey, this is Scott Snyder. I'm writing All-Star Batman this year, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
I'm Mitch Gerrits, the artist of Sheriff of Babylon.
I'm Tom King, the writer of Sheriff of Babylon, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and we're having a good time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon, and you're listening to me live on the Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Comic Talk.
I love it because I feel extra smooth recording this one today. Might be a little sloppy, guys. My mind's been going a mile a minute, and it's been busy, and I'm keeping busy, and I'm staying healthy, and I want to take your guys' mind off of bullshit for an hour, 45 minutes, whatever it is. Feel free to hit me up. I'm at ForTheVillain on Twitter. All right, let's do it. Some comic talk. Salem's Lot, Stephen King. Film taps Annabelle Comes Home director. I think I've only seen a few of the Annabelle franchise movies, which I forgot which ones they were necessarily, but those movies are good. I mean, question mark. They're good. I'm a huge horror movie fan. So if they're going to tap the director to do something like that, I'm kind of down for that film version. Next one's going to be Insert Coin documentary trailer blast into Midway Games Rise and Fall. Insert Coin, a documentary chronicling the history of Blockbuster's video game developer Midway, has released its first trailer. All right, again, I mentioned earlier that I am a, well, used to be a gamer, so playing anything Midway, I was a fan of. So I'm kind of curious about movies like this. Like, there is a documentary about two guys, which is weird to say, two old dudes that played the original Donkey Kong and figured out the rhythm and the rhythm, the routine, the formula on the way the barrels came out. Like, shit like that interests me. And then, you know, if you know the Pac-Man games, there's certain things you can do to avoid. I thought it was kind of interesting. Next one's going to be Saved by the Bell returns with reboot's first trailer. I didn't know how to feel about this. I think I'm in. Like, I know I hate reboots and shit like that, but it's not a reboot necessarily. Mario Lopez is hysterical in it, so AC Slater is just fucking dope. He's talking about banging everyone's mom. I'm like, I think I'm in on this already. It's like, this guy bangs everyone's mom? I'm totally in on this. All right, continuing on, DC is going to be Sandman casting breakdown may reveal season one arc. New casting descriptions for Netflix's Sandman adaptation have surfaced online, hinting at the first season's story. If you guys don't know what the Sandman is, it's a DC Vertigo creation. The Sandman Dreaming was created by Neil Gaiman and Sam Keith, who, if you guys know that name, created the Max. Continuing on, the Batman isn't another origin story, says Matt Reeves. The Batman director Matt Reeves recently spoke to how the character's origin will play into the film's story. While the Batman will feature elements from the Dark Knight's origin, that aspect of the character will not be what the film focuses on, according to the director. I mean, how many times can you rehash it? We know what happens, so... And how many times do we have to see any more pearls hit the alleyway anymore? So, I'm kind of down with that. Animaniacs Revival reunites original cast, reportedly Eyes Fall premiere. And this is going to be a Hulu revival of the Animaniacs cartoon, WB cartoon, that came out in the 90s. Early 90s, yeah. Next one is going to be Marvel Disney News. This one came out this week, 2-3 days ago or so, so Monday or Tuesday. Venom 2 released date change, full title revealed. This sequel to Tom Hardy's Venom has a new title, while seeing its release date pushed back to next year. The sequel to Sony's Venom, now officially titled Venom, Let There Be Carnage, has changed its release date from October 2nd, 2020 to June 25th, 2021, which is going to be in the wheelhouse of our summer movie draft 2021? Question mark? Like, do we even know what the state of movies are going to be in? I got an email from my second job, the theater. Do you want to come back? And I'm like, I'm working a lot now. I don't know if I should or if I need to. All right, continuing on. And don't mind these motorcycle cats, guys. All right, let's see what we got. Shit Creek star interested in She-Hulk or Spider-Woman role. I've heard of the show. I don't know who this woman is. She looks dope, and I think she could pull it off, though. Emily Hampshire revealed she'd love to join the world of comic book movies as She-Hulk or Spider-Woman in the MCU. Her quote says, "I would love to do that. I didn't know where that came from, but wherever it came from, I agree and I like it." That's for just rumors of her becoming Jennifer Walters, aka She-Hulk. It would be just good. I think I would just be good at it. I would be so into that, she went on to say. She'd also like to flex her muscles as She-Hulk. The only other one I can think of is I'd be very into playing She-Hulk. I know that's happening. I've been hearing something about that. I didn't realize that. So it's very cool. I don't know. It looks like she can pull off the role, although I haven't seen her in anything. But she's got the look down of Jennifer Walters. So, kind of cool. All right, let's see what we got, guys. Let's go. Okay, Thor Love and Thunder makes Ragnarok look very safe, says Taika Waititi. Oh my gosh, Taika Waititi. I really like it. They're going to push the bar a little bit more than Thor Ragnarok, which is very cool. So Love and Thunder, we're going to get Jane Foster. Hopefully we get to see Beta Ray Bill finally. So yeah, I'm very interested and curious about that. Next one is going to be Report. John Krasinski met with Marvel on undiscovered MCU projects. John Krasinski and Marvel Studios have reportedly met to talk about the actor-director being involved in MCU projects. This guy is talented. I don't know if he's a comic book cat, necessarily. I know he tried out for the role of Captain America, so we could have got this dude, John Krasinski, as Captain America, as opposed to Chris Evans. I would love to see him in the rumor, like, not even a rumor, like, the fan support and fan base really want to see John Krasinski as Reed Richards. And you know what? That would be pretty fucking sick, and I think he could pull it off. So even if he's not going to be acting in anything, the fact that they have him to direct a Marvel movie, I think would still be pretty dope. All right, Captain Marvel 2 rumored to kick off new Avengers films. We don't have a launch date for that yet. Guardians of the Galaxy 4 is a trilogy, says Gunn. Don't expect Volume 4. All right, we also have some Mandalorian news. Ming-Na Wen to return for The Mandalorian Season 2. So on The Mandalorian, Disney Plus expands Star Wars content with The Mandalorian documentary. And this is going to release, if you guys have seen The Mandalorian, it's going to release 5/4, so May 4th, which is Star Wars Day. So May the 4th be with you. That's when you guys see all us nerds into that shit. And wishing everyone a happy 4th. All right, Star Wars The Mandalorian Season 3 in the works at Disney+. Though its second season has yet to premiere, The Mandalorian already has a third season in the works at Disney+. All right, next one is going to be Marvel's Moon Knight show has a start date, or I guess had a start date. Marvel's presence on Disney+ is moving along with the start of filming for the Moon Knight series, now getting a set date. I forgot that was old news, so there's probably nothing I can tell you about that. Comics, TV, gaming, or comics and gaming, Dark Knight's Death Metal will change DC continuity, Scott Snyder promises. Writer Scott Snyder says the Dark Knight's Death Metal will have a lasting effect on the DC's current continuity. I love this guy as a writer. He's on the buffer. He was writing All-Star Batman at the time. He was writing Batman for a long time. He's written Swamp Thing. His writing is great. I'll follow this guy wherever the fuck he goes. And speaking of Dark Knight still, It's going to be a crossover coming up, I want to say during the summer, Dark Knight's Death Metal Ticket Anthology Issues Guidebook. Dark Knight's Death Metal writer Scott Snyder has revealed the DC miniseries will feature additional material, including an anthology and guidebook. "We've really tried to make it," his direct quote, "a place where we can give more work to people than we had initially planned. So we've created some issues that wound up being a lot better for this new structure when it comes to tie-ins and specials that are in the anthology series." Again, I'll follow this guy's writing anywhere, and this is another guy I would follow anywhere. He's the current editor-in-chief of DC Comics, Jim Lee. Jim Lee's X-Men gets an IDW Artist Edition. Artist Edition are just dope little... comics, but it's like just focuses on the art and putting it to paper first, and then the inks and then the colors, and they're just beautiful to see, especially you get to see original panels that were drawn. And Jim Lee is one of my favorite artists. He is a dope cat. I try to catch his panels every convention he's at. IDW Publishing is releasing an artist edition of Jim Lee's X-Men work, including the best-selling X-Men number 1. The artist edition also collects several of Lee's sketches, pinups, splash pages, and covers, all reproduced from scans of his art and presented in the size that they were originally printed. The book is currently available for pre-order, so I need to jump on that. Lee first started illustrating the X-Men with Uncanny X-Men number 248 and became the series regular artist with number 267. Also co-creating the mutant thief Gambit with legendary X-Men writer Chris Claremont. Claremont and Lee launched a new X-Men title in 1991, which split the X-Men into two teams. The blue team was led by Cyclops, and the gold team was led by Storm. Lee's design served as inspiration for the Fox series X-Men, the animated series, which premiered in 1992. All right, guys, what else we got? I believe that's it. You guys ready for some comic reviews? All right, guys, I was going to review both of these back-to-back, and it's a continuation to episode 291, and it's Legion Quest number 3 that I'm going to review today. I wanted to review number 3, and it ends with 4. It was just a 4-issue arc that went through two titles, The Uncanny X-Men and the X-Men title at the time. I loved it, and I want to review these next two for you, and I had so much content for the news and even tossing out, you know, the mashup of, I'm getting some deep dives in my comic syndicate. Like, how do you guys feel about that? First of all, like, do you guys mind it? Do you guys want me to go a full hour? Do you guys want me to keep them separate? I'm going to probably keep them separate, because again, I feel 150% confident that the comic syndicate can stand alone by itself. And I feel that any deep dives and rabbit holes I put together, write, plot out, brainstorm, research, and put together can stand on its own as well. But again, hit me up. I'm at ForTheVillain on Twitter, at comic_syndicate on Instagram. Hate mail is welcome. So if I do a good job, let me know. If I'm doing a terrible job, let me know. I'm completely cool either way. All right, so again, this is going to be Legion Quest Part 3. This one takes place in the Uncanny X-Men number 321, which came out in 1994, about 1995. Scott Libdell is the writer. Mark Waid does the dialogue. Ron Garney, great artist. I didn't realize at the time Ron Garney was on this title. Did the art. Tim Townsend is the inker, and Steve Bucciolato is the colorist. This issue starts off 20 years in Haifa, Israel. So again, this came out about 95. So 20 years ago in 95 was about 1975-ish. But the story holds up, guys. Let me know what you think about it. It starts off with Eric and Charles talking. Eric says, "You're the geneticist. Tell me your theory then." And Charles, all I'm saying, Eric, is that if Homo superiors do exist, and they just might, you know, then surely humans can learn to live in harmony with them. Eric answers, "Charles, humans cannot live in harmony with each other. A new race would hardly enter a level playing field. Homo superiors, if they exist, we'll need to make a hard claim to the world if they expect to survive. And it's great, again, we get to see this background between two friends and the bromance before their ideals took them to two different places in their lives. And it's really great. We get another great bonding moment from these two guys. So as this goes down, they're at a bar. A paraplegic man just finishes up a performance. He's literally the dude from... He's Eddie Murphy, for the most part, from Trading Places. Like, I have no legs type of dude. So now his peers, all the other patrons of the bar, now giving him shit for it. And making fun of him, calling him names, and just being dicks and assholes to this dude. So Charles stands up and, not surprisingly, acts out to help the man. Which is great to see, especially the next few pages and panels now, because we get to see Charles Xavier physically go to work, stopping this bigger, heavier set gentleman, like, almost with ease. And it's dope. Charles answers, and he's kind of a dick, which is kind of cool to see. "Don't worry, large man. Your friends are coming. In fact, one of them plans a surprise attack even as we speak." As we see one of the dudes grab a chair, and it's Charles Xavier, so he knows what's going on. Huge, powerful telepath. So really the first time we see him using his abilities at this point, and he's still learning about his abilities. As the dude is quickly rushing up behind him, unfortunately for him, "I'm a hard man to surprise," Xavier says, as the rest of the men now make their way around Charles. And they're like, "Is he a mind reader or something?" Charles answers, and they're whispering it to themselves, and Charles answers, "Something." Eric jumps in, "My friend has his hands rather full at the moment. Perhaps you'd better deliver your message to me." So again, the boy aspect is beautiful and dope to see. Just backing each other up with no worries in the world. Like, you do that, right? I mean, have you any of you guys ever done that? Like, I've been in a bar fight before. And yes, I mean a bar fight. Legit bar fight. But backing up your boys and your boys backing you up. Because it's kind of sort of your fault to begin with. This whole bar fight started to begin with. But just being in a fight and scuffling when shit hits the fan, it's great to see, you know, your boys standing toe-to-toe, shoulder-to-shoulder with you. It is dope. So again, here you go. Ezra now gets clocked by one of the other bigger, muscular men now. And Eric's like, apparently I was mistaken. And this is still Eric. Good. As he now goes to work. But he responds, "My friend learned to fight in the Orient. He is a gentleman. Sadly for you, I am not his culture." And this is Eric. As both men are outnumbered, we still get this great dialogue between these two cats. Eric, "And you dreamt of a world without violence." Charles answers, "Any dream worth having, Eric, is a dream worth fighting for." As the panel reads, 14 sailors later. Eric says, "You're a man of conviction, that is for sure. What was that you said again? Any dream worth having is a dream worth fighting for." "Ha, fine, and noble words, my friend. Someday I'll carve them on your tombstone." As it now jumps to the Israeli Negev today. As Cable now is there piecing together what is going on. And Cable is the son of Cyclops and Jean Grey. Or Madeline Pryor. We'll go into that eventually. Huge, powerful telepath. So Josh Brolin, for the most part, that's Cable, guys. And by the way, he did a great job. Cable says, "Wait, you and Magneto in a bar fight. Back to back." And it's just kind of funny because no one believes, like, shit, you guys were boys. You guys were legit fucking boys. And we see the X-Men now working with the Shi'ar Empire along with getting information from the Watchers about this cataclysmic event that is about to unfold. So Jean Grey, Professor X, and Cable are now linked up and amped up to find their friends. So the title now jumps, and it's giving you back and forth, like, what's going on 20 years in the past compared to what's going on right now, where their friends need to go back to the past to find their friends. And we get panels 20 years ago where we see Bobby and Bishop working at the docks, while Betsy and Aurora are still trying to figure out why they lost their memories, along with knowing why they need to get back home. They know they're in a world that doesn't belong to them, and even a time that doesn't belong to them. Where we finally see the frustrations creeping more and more from Bishop, but not just him, it's from everyone. As it also shows elsewhere, like, the bromance is brewing. So pages jump back and forth. So after some conversation between these two guys, Eric encourages his friend to let Gabrielle know about his feelings for her. Like, Eric Magneto, pre-Magneto, says, like, dude, if you like her, just do it. Like, you already fucked up the whole patient-doctor confidentiality agreement. So if you like her, go for it. So, like, it's always good to get that from your friends, which is, again, dope and beautiful. As the pages continue, we see something really gnarly happen. Like, David Haller shows up, and it's really what the fuck gnarly that I honestly didn't quite remember when I read this when I was younger. Like, I didn't know how to feel about it back then, but now rereading, I'm like, oh, fuck, that did happen. I'm like, ooh, I don't know if I want to talk about that. Like, I get the dude David Haller is suffering from schizophrenia. So it's a thing, but again, something gnarly really fucking happens. Anyway, next few pages, we finally see Cable able to make the time travel trip back 20 years ago, where Bishop quickly finds him. But thinking the worst case scenario, Iceman freezes up and ices him up. And Storm warns, be careful, he might be an enemy. So whatever you do, just be careful. So Cable is actually pretty smooth and very powerful. So he uses his abilities to escape and use his powers along with Bishop's to show them who they are and what their mission is. Exactly. Like, dude, don't forget your mission. And to remember about what they have to do just in general. So using this link on the rest of the team as well. Giving himself just enough time before he phases out and returns back to his own timeline. So it's really cool. It's really in-depth. This is legit what happens. I'm going to start posting up pictures. I literally have no time to talk to people, text people. I don't have time to listen to podcasts anymore. I'm training, so I feel bad because I don't even get to listen to music anymore at the office, quote-unquote. So it sucks, dude. But the story ends with Eric and Charles finally arriving after Charles senses an attack on Gabrielle at the hospital. So as they both rush to her aid now, they get encountered by David Haller. Lesion. I'm here, Gabby. And so is Eric. Daniel says, not for long. I have come for you, Eric Magnus Lensher. In my tomorrow, you will become the greatest villain the world has ever known. And for that, you must die today. So, it's a 4-issue arc that dives into 2 comics at the time, and crossovers are like that. I don't know why I've gravitated towards these ones. Maybe it's the 25th anniversary. Actually, I'm pretty sure that's what it is. And I'll explain a lot of things when I go more in depth on part 4 next week of the Comic Syndicate. If you guys are curious about deep dives and rabbit holes, feel free to shoot out ideas. I don't mind. I have three more written up. And when I don't have time to read or write, I already have them written up. It's literally just turning on the mic and hitting it for you guys. So, all right, you guys are always rad, awesome. I love you guys. I hope I'm able to keep you some sort of company. I hope I'm able to keep you guys sane. If this was a good review, if it was a good walk back down through memory lane that hopefully, you guys think, like, fuck, I need to reread that. Like, it does sound dope. I remember these scenes, these pages, these panels. And hit me up on the side about that fucked up, twisted fucking page of panels that something happens where I'm like, holy fuck, did this really go down? I think it did. Anyways, when you guys come across that, definitely hit me up on the side and we'll chit chat. All right, so it's a 25-year-old review plus by now. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you guys can find podcast, share the podcast, rate the podcast, and that's about it, guys. I will catch you guys next week with either deep dives and rabbit holes or another episode of the Comic Syndicate. All right, guys, stay safe. Peace out.